Welcome to the Mousecow Moms podcast, the Disney planning podcast where we enjoy quick conversations and cocktails with a Disney twist. We are your hosts, Jennifer.
Hi.
Juliana.
Hi.
And Lori, that's me. We have so many tips for all kinds of Walt Disney World vacations, but one size does not fit all. Sometimes you just need to supersize it. This week, we'll focus on those larger trips to Walt Disney World of 7 days or more. But first, the Mousecow cocktail.
Okay, so for our supersize vacation, we're going to need a supersize cocktail. So today we are going to be starting our show with the ultimate Long Island iced tea. Long Island iced tea has rum, vodka, gin, Cointreau, sweet and sour, and a splash of Coca-Cola. Doesn't sound like it's going to get me sick at all.
So is this just a general Long Island iced tea or is this different. From somewhere?
It's a little different. For one, it has Hendrix gin, which, so it's going to add that cucumbery flavor. And then I think most Long Island iced teas have like a lemon juice instead of sweet and sour. And they also have, on top of the rum and the vodka and the gin, they have tequila too. Some of them.
Yeah, no, thank you.
It's a lot. What's so weird to me about a Long Island iced tea is that they actually kind of taste like iced tea. I don't know how
they do.
That works. Must be the Coke, the splash of Coke. I don't know.
It's quite a way to start your day.
Well,
you'll be getting yourself way hydrated for your long stay.
My family drinks this like water. During the day. This is like their drink that they drink.
They drink Long Island.
On the weekends.
How do they make them?
Not with gin. They stick with rum. Actually, they don't even do rum as much. They'll usually stick with just vodka. They do sweet and sour. They do
Cointreau. They do a vodka with Coke is what you're saying?
Essentially with sweet and sour.
And call it a Long Island. I mean.
That's
one way.
It just depends.
I mean,
it depends on where they get it or if they make it at home and what they have at home. Rum is not something they typically have on hand.
No, thank you.
That is a tall drink for a tall vacation.
No, now it's tall.
It's tall. We love a quick break to Walt Disney World. We take them often and we talk about them often. And sometimes it's exactly what Doc ordered. I really want to get back for a weekend badly soon. But we also understand the need for a vacation, which is not a quick visit, right? A vacation to Disney is one where you can leave the world behind and unwind for a week or more. So our top tips for a week or more at Disney World. I think the first thing you want to do is obviously consider where you're going to stay. For me, if I'm going to be spending that much time in a hotel, I mean, we're going to stay on site because we're going to, we always do. You should stay in a villa, get some more space, some bigger bang for your buck. Even if you just do a studio, they have a lot of them have nicer sleeping arrangements than a regular standard hotel room. So you're going to look into those DVC properties and see what you can get. But also think about the location of these villas, right? Like some are far away. So if you want to be in Saratoga Springs or whatever, think about, you know, what's important to you, the convenience, because there certainly are villas available at Polynesian and Bay Lake Tower and Grand Floridian or even at Riverside. So you want to think about whether or not you'll have a car or how you'll be getting around. What do you guys think?
I think like we've stayed at Saratoga and we came on and we did a podcast that it was far away from everything and blah, blah, blah. But there is a certain price break. So Saratoga has the cheapest villas. So if you're looking for a bigger space, a one bedroom, they do have the cheapest ones. You are further away, but you can save a little bit more on money. We're staying at a Polynesian would definitely bite into that budget quite a bit.
It's true. I think this is actually all really dictated by budget and less so much by what's important to you. But I would say that if you want to have extra space and you're going to have to decide whether or not in your budget, it's worth not having convenience is really the best way to look at it.
Well, convenience in terms of location, but convenience in terms of if you're going for a longer stay, one and two bedrooms we'll give you laundry.
Right. I mean, let's think of all the things that you get. You get laundry, you get a kitchen, you get all kinds of things, like a full kitchen, which could save you, because we'll talk about whether or not the dining plan is something you should do for a long trip. But yeah, those are all kinds of things to consider about where you're going to stay.
Yeah, I like when I'm there with my family for a long trip, I like it for a couple of reasons. I like it because we usually get a park hopper pass, and we usually get, by the time you're getting a 4-day park ticket, adding extra days to that 4-day park ticket is really inexpensive. So we usually, if we're going for a week or 10 days, we'll usually get park tickets that will cover us to go every single day, because at that point, it's not so expensive, and being able to go in and out in a couple of times.
So I would say when you're talking about, so we talked about where to stay. By the way, speaking of where to stay, you can also, you know, a lot of people when they're going for longer trips, they'll drive because they can handle like a 7, 8, 9 hour drive if it's not just for a weekend. So if you have a car, that makes a difference, like we said. But anyway, tickets. I say if you're going for a week or more, you must always at least 4-day tickets. Like that's a no-brainer. There's no reason to not do 4-day tickets. But like we were saying, it doesn't cost that much more after 4 days of tickets when you start adding ticket days on. So like, you know, one person ticket for 4 days will cost maybe $80 less than a 5-day one, whereas each day of a 4-day one is $150. Am I making any sense? You have to look at the math.
There's a huge price break as soon as you hit the 4 or 5 days. There's a bigger one between 5 and 6 days.
Mm-hmm.
It's like $40 more between between a 5 and a 6 day.
Per person we're talking about. But yeah, so yeah. It just makes more sense. And then Jen mentioned park hoppers. You want to compare that, right? Like if you get a 4-day park hopper ticket, it's more than a 6-day base ticket. It's more than a 7-day base ticket. So while I love park hoppers because on a long trip, I like to have the flexibility to take breaks in the day and then go to a different park at night for dinner, say, things like that. I think that sometimes in the longer case, I mean, if you're looking to budget, then you should just do 7 days of tickets and you know, on your break days, use those days to go into parks at night that you wouldn't go into otherwise. That's how I like to approach it. I also just in general, like don't always love park hoppers for first timers. And I think a lot of times first timers are doing long trips. I don't know if that's true though, actually, now that I think about it.
Yeah. I mean, the park hoppers I think are great if you're doing a shorter trip, if you're looking to hit all 4 parks, not necessarily in the 4 days. But if you're there for, and you're doing a 4 or 5 day, you can go back to a park that you enjoyed for the second time. And you don't have to worry about the park hopping. The point of the 7 day is that you're taking it a little bit slower.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I think it makes more sense to forego the hoppers, unless, again, you're staying in the boardwalk area like we always talk about and you want to go into Epcot every night. Like, we get that. If you have a specific idea, then do it. But I think it just makes more sense to get more ticket days. Yeah. And then when you think about that, you know, think about which parks you want to visit and stuff like that. But we'll get into that in a sec. The other thing you consider when you're buying tickets is whether or not, even if you don't add the park hopper option, you can still add the water park and sports option. But again, it's something that you want to consider because you can get like a 1-day ticket into one of the water parks as a standalone purchase for around $60-ish per person. But if you want to go to that water park more than one time during your trip, you should definitely add on the water park and sports option because it's less than double the cost of a 2-day ticket, or it's less than, you know, double the cost of a 1-day ticket. And you can use it for as many days as you're there, as you have ticketed days. So if you buy a 7-day ticket and add the park, the water park and sports option, you can have one visit to those venues each day.
Or if you book for 2025, you can get the water park included.
Oh my goodness. There's a bonus mouse tip. Yes, you can get that's right. You get one visit to the water park included on your check-in day only in 2025. Yes. So that's another way to do it. That's really smart.
Yep.
Yeah. So I mentioned a little bit about the dining plan and whether it's a yay or nay for long trips like this. And I have to tell you, in my own little head, I could not come up with a conclusion.
If I'm staying for 7 days with 3 kids, 3 boys, I need to figure out ways to cut costs because we are there for 7 days. And even with the dining plan, the amount of money that we're going to go through, if I'm going to splurge for a bigger villa with the kitchen, then I am against the dining plan because we're going to bring food in.
So I think that's the difference. I think that if I want the convenience of location and I end up doing a studio instead of something bigger, and I'm, you know, at Bay Lake Tower or something like that, without a full kitchen, then I might do the dining plan because it sure is convenient and easy. If I'm going during a festival at Epcot, I might do the dining plan because I'm hearing rumors that some of the things at the outdoor kitchens are snack credits. So things like that. And also, you know, a lot of people really like that all-inclusive feeling, especially when they're booking such a high-priced vacation. Because let's be honest, no matter whether you're doing value or deluxe, 7 days at Disney is not inexpensive. Again, so for all those reasons, I'm torn, but I think that it will depend on where I stay. If I spring for the bigger room farther away, you know, I probably wouldn't do it, in which case I would definitely order groceries to deliver.
I would say 100% if you're in a one bedroom, don't do the dining plan. If you're in a deluxe studio, definitely take a look at doing the dining plan. As much as that microwave and mini fridge, you can't do a whole lot with that.
For a whole week.
No, you can't. But ordering groceries in, I think, is fantastic regardless, even if it's just a little bit of breakfast, drinks, water.
Yeah, I mean, I do this for almost any trip. I order in water and you know, things like oatmeal packets and stuff like that that we can just have in the room because we're not big breakfast eaters. So you just tailor that to your family, you know, if you're more snackers, but you don't want the park snacks or whatever it is. But I am hearing, so delivery fees, so they... There's been some confusion about delivery fees when you have groceries delivered to the resorts. The way it's supposed to be is if they're just dropped off at the front desk, there's not supposed to be any fee if they call you down and you go pick them up. Even if they take them to Bell Services, as I understand, there's not supposed to be any kind of fee if you pick up grocery delivery, unless they put them in a refrigerator.
Yeah, that's where it gets tricky. My advice is to just do it so you're there when the groceries get delivered, period.
Like, that's just definitely make sure you're there, the best option.
Have the groceries delivered. Cause one, they're gonna, more than likely, I've heard that they're charging. Bell Stand's handling it. They're putting it in the refrigerators. They do have refrigerators in Bell Stand, but they're managing it. And that's, I think, where the issue's coming in.
So in some cases, even if it's not delivered to your room, you're still being charged. It's $6 per package. So the way it was explained to me one time, and again, I don't know if this is your mileage may vary, but if it's something that goes to like the central distribution center, like a package from Amazon, not from Amazon Grocer, or like a mail package that you have sent to your resort, whether or not if you go pick that up at the desk, my understanding,
it's just so inconsistent.
It's inconsistent.
They still charge. But then if it's delivered directly to the resort and it goes to the front desk, they might not charge you. But if it goes directly to the resort and it goes to Bell Services, they will charge you. So like,
I just think it's so inconsistent that it's probably worth your while to either
just expect that you might need to pay.
Order groceries and expect to have to pay a fee, or order your groceries and just meet the Uber Eats driver downstairs in the lobby.
That would save all, yourself. Like Lori said, that handles all of it.
Or have your car and go and get the groceries. When we're staying for an extended period of time, you know how I feel about Costco, and we don't have one locally. Oh my God.
I can't do the car and then going to get your groceries. To me, that's a time waster. I'd rather spend the money on the Instacart.
Fair enough. Like I don't want to leave. Although I will say we have on our break days, we have run out, like sitting at the pool, we've run out to Publix because their subs are amazing. You get like the fresh subs at the Publix deli and it's totally worth it. And then you can also pick up a couple of beers or a bottle of wine and put those in something plastic. I'm not condoning that. You're really not allowed to do that, I don't think.
You're not condoning it.
Anyway, all right. So we were talking about groceries and the dining plan. So it all, again, depends. Memory maker, I think, is always a good idea, especially on long trips. I get so tired of being like, okay, everybody get together for a picture. But for some reason, when it's like a photographer standing there and you just need to jump in line and get a picture, I do it. So I'm always a big proponent of memory maker.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Mousecamoms are avid travel enthusiasts, and our podcast is sponsored by Kingdom and Cruise Travel. If you are interested in booking a vacation to Disney or any other worldwide destination, be sure to check out the website, kingdomandcruise.com, and their Facebook page, Kingdom and Cruise Travel.
Other things to think about when you're planning, when you're doing a large trip. We talked about doing 7 days of tickets. I always like to build in a rest day. And that doesn't mean that you're not visiting the parks at all. It could mean a day that you sleep in, things like that, or a day that you just plan to go for the fireworks show at night or something like that. Again, when you get into 7 day tickets being like only $20 more, it's worth it. But I also think it's important to think about where you're going to bookend your stay. Like, obviously, you're going to see at least one park more than once. And so,
yes.
Like if it's a first trip for a family, I really like to advise them to do Magic Kingdom on the first and last day, because what's better than like looking at the big iconic castle for the first time, you know, on your first day, and then the last night on your last day to end with the happily ever after, whatever the current fireworks situation is.
I was going to say, if we had our pick, that's we do Magic Kingdom first, Magic Kingdom last.
I think a lot of people do. Everything in the middle. Yeah. It's very special. I do have a lot of clients who like to do Hollywood Studios more than once, that because that's their favorite park. So certainly you can just think about which parks you want to repeat. And without having to do park reservations with date-based tickets and packages, you can certainly change it up however you want to. If you find that you didn't get everything done in one park one day, guess what? You're there for a week. You have the luxury of doing it again another day. So that's really nice. I think it's important on these long trips to not overschedule yourself. You can get into so much trouble by trying to be everywhere at specific times.
I go by the theory, if you're there for a week and you're there longer, do not do more than 2 park days in a row. It just doesn't turn out. I do 2 in a row. That's it. Then it's break time. And we stick with that mentality.
But do you mean like full park days, right? Like full would you still days. Like go check a show out or something? Like, hey, let's just go to Hollywood Studios and get, you know, I don't know, something you can only get there.
I guess it depends on what type of ticket you have, right? And how many days you did and that.
Right.
But typically, if we're not doing a park day, I say no park day, period. Everybody goes to the pool, they hang out. Maybe we do Disney Springs in the afternoon to go do something. Maybe we enjoy the amenities of the hotel that you're paying for. But we do an absolute chill day. And this is where, if we're in a one bedroom, this is the night where I typically might cook dinner because I'm not at a park all day. We've done spaghetti and meatballs that night. The kids played on the lawn outside at the resort.
I know. And it's so lovely.
Yeah. It was a reset day. And the kids
I would
loved
do this
it.
Once. If I were there for 7 days, I would do that once. But the other break days, you know me, I get antsy. I would need to go to a park in the evening or go like do, you know, which is why I'm a big proponent of the 7 day ticket, so that you have the option of running in just to do like, what if one day I'm just like, you know what? I feel like riding Guardians of the Galaxy. And that's another thing I like when you have when you have a long trip with lots of tickets, you don't necessarily. And again, I am such a huge supporter of rope dropping. The mornings in the park are the absolute best. But when you have a long ticket and you don't necessarily need to get everything done, you can, you know, wake up at 7 and book your Genie Pluses and your Lightning Lanes for later in the evening. Say you want to check out Hollywood Studios at night, a few hours before Fantasmic, maybe go have dinner there, but just chill all day long at the resort and, you know, go to the pool, play at the arcade, just relax. I mean, that's a great way to spend a day. And it works for me because, like I said, I get antsy. So like knowing that I have a whole day in front of me just to sit at the hotel would drive me nuts, not because there's not a ton to do.
It's a lot easier to slow down and smell the roses when you have a long vacation.
No, it definitely is. See, my family is the opposite. They sleep in. If I let them, they would sleep in till 10 or 10:30. So we usually are very slow moving in the morning and we aren't getting to the pool till noonish. And then that's the day is at the pool and the kids will run and run and run and go down the slide as many times humanly possible. But they also love to do other things around Disney World that they have come to really enjoy. One of their favorites on this list is mini golf, which I think a lot of people miss out on because they are included in your package.
Yeah, and it's a great thing to do on a non-park day or an evening park day or whatever. I mean, it breaks up if you can't, like me, sit at the pool all day, then it breaks this up. It gives you something to do. There's also fun things in the evening around the boardwalk. Disney Springs has a ton to offer. I mean, we talk about a ton of things. We talk about these in many podcasts before. Fun things to do around the boardwalk, all the extras that you can do with your Disney trip.
But a lot of these fun things we tend to skip because time is so precious. So if you have a longer trip, it makes it a lot easier psychologically to like add some of those things back in that you've been meaning to do.
In our trip, we're staying at Fort Wilderness, and I've never seen my children more excited. They're not talking about rides. They are talking, we're there for a while, we're taking it slow. They are talking about mini golf. They are talking about all the activities Fort Wilderness has to offer that they've never done before. And it's going to be a different trip. We're still going to the parks for sure, but that is not what they are excited about.
I think it's a bonus Mouska tip. Again, when you're considering where you're staying, Fort Wilderness is fantastic for a long trip because above all other resorts, this one has so much to do and see. And it's huge.
Yes.
And it's different. And that's a great long trip and still one of my goals. But I remember some people saying they would never do it with me. Anyway,
I did. New cabins are coming. New cabins are coming. Then I will change my mind.
The new cabins won't have roaches.
It's
still
right.
Florida.
It's okay. I'm bringing my dogs with you because bonus Mouska tip, you can bring your dogs with you to the cabins. So my dogs like to eat bugs. So I'm set.
Lovely protein. The other thing I suggest when you're going for a long time is, you know, since you'll be staying in a villa, which are all deluxe resort properties, go take advantage of those after extra evening hours at either Magic Kingdom or Epcot for deluxe resort guests. I mean, the parks are empty during these because it's only for deluxe resort guests and a lot of people don't take advantage of it. Those are great. Or look at all that. If there are any after hours events when you're there, those are super fun too, because again, you have extra time. So you can, you know, if you have the stamina, you can stay up late and not get up early in the morning and feel like you have to rush out the door to the next park.
That is, we are doing after hours at Hollywood Studios. I've never done an after hours event. I'm excited. And that is our Hollywood Studios day because Hollywood Studios drives me batty.
Me too. And then you do your rest day afterwards.
Yes.
The only thing is there's not as many shows at the after hours events. So you might still want to visit Hollywood Studios another day. But again, you don't have to rope drop it. You don't have to fight the crowds. You could just go and see all the other great shows there because there are great shows and you can meet Olaf and I'm getting like, I have to stop that. We have to quit the podcast because it just makes me want to keep going to Disney.
Yeah. I've just booked three more trips.
Three more trips for yourself?
Yes.
Week-long trips?
One of them, yeah. I haven't done a long trip in a long time, so I'm due.
I need to. All right.
All right, guys. Mouska tip. Lots of times, longer vacations cannot be taken at less busy times at Walt Disney World. You have to take them during school vacations, holidays, but that's okay if you're taking a longer trip. You can take it easy, relax, no matter how crowded it is. You'll still have a great time. This is what we are doing. We're doing it during spring break. We know it's going to be busy. We know it's going to be nuts, but we're there for a longer time, so we do not have to stress. The crowds are what they are, and there's nothing you can do about them.
All right. Well, Mouska friends, there you have it. Our tips for a longer vacation to Walt Disney World. What do you think? Did we leave any tips out? Drop us a note. Check out our Facebook group, Mouska Moms Podcast, to dive deeper into this and all things Disney and Disney planning. Be sure to follow our show so that you receive notifications when new content is released and you never miss an episode. And please consider writing us a review as well. It really helps.
Now it's time to say goodbye to all our company.
Soon. Why? Because we like you.
M-O-U.